And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I'm literally, right now I am packing up, because I forgot that I had to do this for tomorrow because I leave for Boston. I haven't packed like anything. So I'm going to be doing that while I'm on the Skype call.
What's going, what's happening in Boston?
I have work. I'm in a top 40s cover band, so I'm actually...
just sit your musician. It sounds so much better.
I like that image. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like I am obligated to like give as much detail about it, considering it is so outlandish.
You have to give the disclaimer that you're not a real rock star right now. You just play Carrie Underwood songs on the weekend.
Hey, you're a rock star to me, Chris. So.
Thank you. It's very sweet.
Gave you some Snickers.
What are you eating? Snickers? What did you say?
Stingers.
Oh.
Stingers.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was talking about eating Snickers. Now I'm hungry for a Snickers. Oh, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
Happy.
What the hell?
I'm Nick.
Chris Pappy.
I'm so used to just going second when Chris can't make it. Sorry.
That was like that just made my night. I was just
It's like he's just butting in to try, like, no, pay attention to me. Oh, this is the SML podcast, episode number 181. We are getting up there. Holy crap. Special guest on the show with us today, Nick from, is it Digerati? Digerati?
Hey, it's Digerati, yeah.
Digerati Distribution. Nick, how are you doing?
Cool. Yeah, I'm okay, actually. I'm about 5 beers in at the moment, so I'm doing okay.
Excellent.
It's actually it's National Beer Day today, apparently.
Is it?
Someone sent me a link for, one of the trending topics on Twitter, and, probably like the top trending topic was it's National Beer Day, so that was the only excuse I needed.
Okay, good enough. Sorry, Pappy.
And obviously to deal with you guys, you know.
Well, yeah, obviously.
It just makes the show better that way.
You need to be inebriated to get along with us.
Ha, ha. So, Nick, tell us who you are and what you do and why you are joining us on our dumb little show today.
So I am in charge of I'm the director, I guess, of a small independent publisher called Digerati Distribution and Marketing. So we provide funding and distribution and marketing services to indies, as a lot of other publishers do right now. We focus on kind of smaller 1-2-3-man studios. Anything from just like a straight publishing deal where we fund the project through to completion, to just like a distribution service where we just help people get like additional, you know, eyes on, visibility on their product across the internet through PC channels. And then obviously we've also over the last year moved into console products. We've released one title on PS4, Vita, and Xbox One, Shout Out to Zach from Bracket Games. And then we've got another few titles releasing over the next like 3 or 4 months. Title actually releasing tomorrow, a game called Letter Quest on Xbox One, which is like a totally unique word-based RPG. Created by a couple of guys, Mark, Jake, Big Bad Games. Yeah, we had a really kind of an interesting journey with this one because it was actually originally an iPhone game and it's received really, really well. So Mark put it to see. And
you're actually starting to break up. Are you straying a bit too far from the mic? I'm not sure if it's not picking you up or if it's the connection.
Let me pull some headphones on like that.
See, we should have thought about this before we started recording.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't breaking up before we started.
That's okay.
I blame Pappy. It's clearly his fault.
I'll go if you want. I'm like 4,000 hours behind on my shit.
Oh, that's a lot of hours.
I know, right?
How are you ever going to make those hours up?
I basically had to cancel fun this weekend.
That's a grossly... It seems like a grossly inaccurate amount of hours.
Is that better?
Yeah, you're a lot clearer now, but you're quieter for some reason.
I've got headphones on. Hang on.
All right, now you're good. Now you're
good. That's
good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I've got a title release on Xbox One tomorrow, and then we've got a bunch of other products out over the next 3-4 months across Wii U and PS4, Vita, and Xbox One. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I do basically.
Before we get into any of the normal questions,
shenanigans,
how many people work with you at Digirati?
So there's myself. I do like a lot of the product and handle like the I don't know. I guess like the finance side. I guess like the spreadsheets and shit. And
the exciting stuff.
yeah, right. And then I've got a partner who lives in England, Christian Bliss, who he works with me with my content. He's an ex Sony guy, so he helps me with like my evaluation of products. And then I've got another chap, actually English again. I think we're all kind of, I think we are all English, but through no fault of any of ours, it just kind of happened like that. I guess English people are just cooler than Americans. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I can confirm that.
You're more willing to do spreadsheets.
Then I've got George who helps, you know, us with our, like our social media and a bit of our marketing and stuff. And then, a couple more guys that drop in and out for playtesting and QA and whatever else. Yeah, so we're small team. I actually learned the trade in a very small company as well, so it kind of translated pretty well.
So my big question with that is, it's a relatively small team. You're talking like no more than 10 people?
No. There's probably 6 or 7 of us, Matt. Right,
so who consumes the most quinoa? On your website, you have 209 pounds of quinoa consumed. Do they have to report into you when you put it on a spreadsheet so you can?
Yeah. It has to be in a spreadsheet. Yeah, it has to be in a spreadsheet. And that would probably be myself or Christian. We're both vegetarians, and we both like to eat a lot of quinoa.
So,
yeah.
So you say you and Christian do the primary quinoa consumption?
Yeah. But I guess if we had to, I guess an arm wrestle would be the only way to really decide who was the winner. And I think Christian would probably beat me.
No, I mean that's a very high number you have. I just really liked that sense of humor on your website.
No problem, thank you.
When can we expect the pounds of quinoa to eclipse the Steam library? That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, everyone's got a big Steam library, right? I mean, that doesn't say what the backlog is. That just says what Steam's is in the catalog. So, what it is.
My question is, How do you hop aboard the quinoa train? Because like I'm vegan and I hate quinoa. Like,
I just don't really do too well with like starchy carbs. Is this a video game podcast? Or are we talking nutrition now?
I'm just curious because
I'm not going to be
every one of my like vegetarian vegan friends is like, oh my god, quinoa, and I'm like,
In case we weren't clear, our podcast is, hey, we're going to talk to you.
Okay, so it's half nutrition. No, so I'm not totally like overbearing on grains and what if something is better than something else. I don't know, quinoa for me, I enjoy it. I don't really particularly enjoy eating like white goods. So I don't really eat bread or pasta or rice. So if I'm going to eat some rice, generally like a whole wheat, but I prefer like a grain. I eat a bit of a like amaranth as well, which is kind of a bit more porridgey if you don't cook it right. And I generally very rarely cook it right. And eat a lot of quinoa with like eggs and fish, and I ate a lot of peas as well. I like to eat like bowls of peas and shit.
Like, I like peas.
I love peas. Like, peas are great. You know, they've got like fiber and protein in them. And they're cheap. They're really cheap.
Yeah, and 1 pound of quinoa. You're like, oh yeah, this isn't gonna last very long. No, that's like 8,000 servings.
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, so I actually ordered my quinoa from Amazon because I just thought it's too expensive to go back in like a health food store. Or I live near a Whole Foods in Austin, so it's too expensive to go back from there. So I buy like 10-pound bags of quinoa that last me like a good, I don't know, 2-3 months, and. Okay. Yeah, and you know,
would last me like a year.
It's very versatile. Like, you're eating it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, tackle, like, you know, you just add a little bit of hot sauce or some eggs or, you know, just whatever the mood dictates, I guess.
I just laughed at that thrown up on your website. But yeah, why did you decide? You know what I want to do with my life? I want to help any developers by kind of doing the hard part for a lot of the developers, the marketing, the distribution, contacting people, saying, hey, check out this game. It's badass. Like
talking with people saying, like us.
Yeah, saying, hey,
I don't know if I signed up to that, but yeah, go on. Sorry, like, go on.
What got you into that? You know, what got you into going, you know what, this is what I want to do?
It's kind of like a roundabout story, but I'll keep it short. I had a friend who used to work for THQ. Shout out to Luke Kieran from Merge Games. And they employed me when Luke set up his own company after he left THQ. And I was doing something else totally unrelated. And they said we were friends. And he said they wanted me to come in and kind of work with them. And I kind of learned it from, you know, like ground level up. And again, like I said, it was a small company. So I kind of did everything from like product, like PR, bit of marketing, kind of covered all bases, and just really like found a place for like myself in what I was doing. And Luke and Joe are still great. Luke and his wife Joe are still like great friends to this day. And after like a year of working for them, I moved over to the States and started working from the remotely. And then one thing led to another, and I ended up setting up my company. And yeah, you know, we're still partners now. They actually distribute one of my titles called Joylancer, and Luke still is like kind of my mentor, I guess. And it just kind of happened. I don't know. I just kind of had an eye for like a nice product, and got in at the right time, and made a few good decisions and a lot of very bad ones. And I'm kind of here now.
So tell us about these bad decisions you've made.
I'm not talking about anything gaming related. I just mean life decisions.
Even better.
I've learned by my mistakes, I guess, as everyone does. But you know, it's different when you're learning on your own money as opposed to learning on someone else's money, I guess. So I just kind of learned fast and. I really enjoy helping. I really do. Sorry, excuse the train that goes past.
I was going to say, I just learned that you live near train tracks.
The train that only ever goes past when I'm actually on a call. It doesn't go past at any other time. You know, or it goes past just as you're about to fall asleep as well.
I lived by trains for like the first 2/3 of my life.
Well, do you find the train like peaceful now because you grew up with that?
It doesn't bother me. It's when I hear it, it's just it's a train. Some people are like, it's so loud. And I'm just like, it's a fucking train.
It's kind of irritating, but it's okay. But you know, they also didn't advertise that when I moved into my place, so whatever. My fault, I guess, for not checking.
That's one of the mistakes you made in your life is moving near train tracks.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but I'm moving out very soon, so it's okay. So I started Digital Art like three years ago now, and I've got a catalog of like 12 games on Steam. I've got probably 5 or 6 titles coming to console over the next 6 to 8 weeks, and another couple in June, July, and I just released Slain, which was an interesting experience for all of us involved. And we're just grinding on, I guess.
Well, let's start with the first game that I talked to you about. I first got in touch with you when you brought Three Fourths Home Extended Edition to console.
Sure.
And what was the process in getting what's essentially a visual novel onto the Xbox One, and now I believe it's on the PS4 as well?
Sure. Yeah, it's on PS4 and on and PS Vita as well. So, yeah. So Zach is a great friend of mine. Zach actually lives in Austin as well. We worked together on Three Fourths Home before we bought it as a console. I think it was probably on a post on Rock Paper Shotgun, I think. And I reached out to Zach and asked him if he wanted to help with kind of distribution. And then, we just kind of went from there, and we found it was really, really well received, like critically, but, commercially didn't do great numbers. And we just kind of decided between ourselves that, that there was probably a market for this kind of thing on console, because there's a lack of it, if you like. Zach actually did all his own port work, and we managed to get Three Fourths Home out on Xbox One and PS4 Vita within, I don't know, like I think it was within like six months, maybe. I don't know, Zach will kill me if I get this wrong. I think it was like 6 or 7 months of him starting the work. And it's performed fantastically on console. And, you know, unsurprisingly, not great on PC, but I understand the PC market a little bit more. And, you know, we priced it right on console. And Zach's a fantastic talent. And I'm actually working with him on his next title, which is called To Azimuth, which is like a... David Lynch style alien abduction mystery, like in the vein of like Twin Peaks and X-Files, and it's cool as fuck, you know. And
I saw the trailer for that. That looked pretty cool when I saw the reveal trailer.
Yeah, so, you know, the idea Xbox featured it at the pre-GDC Loft event not too long ago, and you know, Zach does all his own art, he does all his own writing, his own animation. He's a fucking great guy. So, I just love working with Zach. I just love working with people like Zach. It's just Three Fourths was it's kind of, I think it was surprising to us the amount it sold on PC, just because we both thought it was going to perform a little bit better when it launched on Steam. And but it's definitely kind of proved its worth on console. And yeah, you know, the critics are definitely paying attention to Bracket Games, who, you know, that Bracket is Zach and his brother John. John does the music and Zach does everything else. And it's put us in good stead to set To Azimuth up, which isn't out to 2017 anyway. But yeah. So that's To Azimuth.
Do you feel like it's more difficult to sell games on PC just because it seems to be a little bit easier for independents to just get their product out themselves, and there's kind of like a more of an oversaturation on PC than on certain consoles?
I don't like the use of the word saturation, really, because I think that it's always, and you know, you read so many conflicting articles about whether it's, you know, make a good game and it will sell. Or I think you have to have a hook, and I think that you have to have a story behind the game, and you know, and you've got to you've now got to price it right. And I think consoles probably going that way now, just because of the amount of, you know, the kind of barriers to entry are a little bit lower now to consoles. So yeah, I think that console, I don't think console is going to see the exact same, problems that PC have seen. But yeah, you know, it's a lot easier to get a game on PC. But I still believe to a point that the cream will rise to the top or whatever, you know. But
I could see that. I could just see how it could get frustrating, where it's just like, you know, when you see. Or do you feel that certain games just like are absolutely made to be experienced on a console as opposed to PC, because it's almost like there's a different mentality. Most people that, like, and even myself included, like, I started upgrading my PC again, and I've been mostly doing a lot of my stuff on my PC as opposed to my, like, Xbox One and stuff. And I find myself playing different styles of games on my PC. Not I'm not even realizing that I'm doing it.
So how old are you, Chris? Just so.
I'm just 26.
Okay. So young and innocent.
Joe, how old are you? Mm-hmm.
35.
So young and corruptible.
Yeah.
Okay. what about you, Papi? Papa?
Same as Joe. We grew up together. 35.
All right, cool. Okay, cool. So yeah, so I'm in the middle. I'm 31. So I grew up playing Mega Drive and Super Nintendo, and then Nintendo 64, a lot of Nintendo 64, a lot of fucking Wave Race 64. And
hell yeah.
64. Yeah, hell yeah, Wave Race. So, you know, I kind of grew up playing console as opposed to PC, but yeah, I think there's definitely a certain, I think you have to cater for a PC audience a little bit more carefully than you do. I don't want to say that. I think that there's... I think that there's...
That I just feel like... I feel like there's been, like, a mental shift as a like, as far as types of games and which platforms they tend to...
I think that's bullshit. I think that I honestly think... And that isn't because I work with Zach, or that isn't because I work with anyone else. I think that whole fucking, is this a game or is this art? I think that's bullshit. Like, if it's an interactive medium or whatever, then, and you want to pay $5 to play it, then fucking pay $5 to play it and enjoy it for what it is. And if it's available on the system that you have, then great. And if it isn't, then either borrow your friend's system or don't fucking buy it. Don't buy it and then complain about it. It isn't a game that it's more. You know, no, seriously, you know, like yeah. These people put, Zach puts, you know, put in, I don't know how many hours he put into developing Freefall's Home, but I know how many hours you put into the port, and I know that the development cycle onto Azimuth is going to top out at probably 2 years, and that's Zach working 15, 16, 70 hour days for 2 years.
Jesus.
So I know, you know, I don't really agree with the whole is this art? You know, if there's a place for it and you price it correctly, and you know, then so what? Buy it or don't buy it. You know, if you give the correct description that it's maybe an interactive story or it's an interactive fiction or whatever it is, don't buy the game and then complain that it's not a game. You know, fucking read the description. You know, seriously, yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of daft, but. But yeah, but back to PC gamers, you know, I am primarily a console guy, and I obviously have transitioned to PC gaming over the last like 6 or 7 years. But I play, I've got, you know, I think it's probably part to do with my job as well. You know, I have I don't like to play like big, like deep, like narrative driven, like RPGs. And I like something that I can pick up, play for 10 minutes or an hour, put it down, get back to work. So I've got like probably 1,000+ hours in Binding of Isaac. I've been playing a lot of Devil Daggers. I like Nuclear Throne. I play a lot of Paranautical Activity, which is a title that I now own, but I played a lot of that before I picked it up. What's up to Mike and Travis from Code Avarice, Naughty Mike. And so I like something that I can pick up. I like something that I can pick up and put down, and then carry back on with working. I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose 400 or 500 hours playing fucking Fallout 4. Although I've lost 1,000+ hours playing Binding of Isaac. So yeah, I guess it's the same difference.
But I guess it's just, I think it's more so, and I found myself kind of doing this too. I wanted to find games where I didn't have to remember what I was doing the last time.
Exactly.
That I played it.
Yeah, like, perfect. Yeah, exactly. And you can, and then you can switch between, you know, a couple of titles, and you don't have, you've not got to go back and refresh yourself. Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at. Definitely. But you know, that isn't a typical PC gamer, so I can't speak for the masses. I can just speak for like what I think that I know. About what will possibly sell and what wouldn't.
Totally. I mean, it's kind of hard not to recognize that, you know, there is, those types of things do influence other, other potential customers.
Yeah,
and sometimes they might not even recognize it.
Well, I've speak to people, inside inside the industry, or whatever, and they say that a lot of the times it's just like, it's like throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. Like a lot of the time, people don't know. They don't know what, you can forecast for what's going to be successful and what isn't, but you actually don't know until you release it how it's going to resonate. As long as it's not broken, and as long as people can, as long as you've kind of marketed it correctly to what it, how you've communicated like its key features and whatever else, like it shouldn't. You think it should work, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. I don't know. It's easy to win once you win in, but while you're trying to win, it's not that easy. So I don't know. There's too many fucking variables to be able to.
Yeah.
Put science behind it, I think. You just have to keep an eye on what's.
Just kind of like put out what you think is good, and just fingers crossed.
To a point, and that's what I do. I like to work with a certain quality of content, and. I like to work with a certain type of studio or developer or whatever. So, that's it.
Well, speaking of games that are really solid that you pour a lot of time into, I have spent way, 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 way too much time on LetterQuest so far.
Yeah. So LetterQuest, Mark, I met Mark probably 2 years ago. When I say Matt, I mean like in our weird internet culture where I met him online as opposed to actually meeting him face to face. I don't know how tall he is. I don't know what he smells like. I imagine he smells pretty nice, but I don't know. I met Mark like 2 years ago. I think it was again like a post on RPS, maybe. I'm not too sure. Maybe somewhere else. I just really like the what LetterQuest is bringing to like the table. I saw that there wasn't really that many other word-based RPGs out, if any. There was nothing really, and we started working together. I helped with a little bit of distribution with the original title, and then I kind of after its performance when it launched, we kind of got together and thought that we should maybe put some work into getting a console version ready. So Mark ported and again, you have to forgive me because I'm not kind of too technically minded. I think it was written in like Adobe Flash or something. It was written in something that wasn't very easily ported to Unity anyway. And Mark spent, I think, like 600 or 700 hours porting it to Unity. And then we released the remastered version with a new soundtrack, a new game mode. We increased the price a little bit, but we gave every existing customer of the original LetterQuest a copy of LetterQuest Remastered, and then that enabled us to port to console. And LetterQuest is just a fantastic title. I mean, it's a real I don't want to say sleeper because that means that you're underestimating it, but it's just a fucking fun game, man. Me and my wife played the shit out of that game. Like we just But we really did, it's just got something. It's just something unique, It's kind of educational. It's fun, but it's kind of got that deeper like RPG element for anyone who doesn't want something too casual. And we're excited about it. It's actually launching Xbox One tomorrow, so it's been on pre-order for 2 weeks, and pre-orders perform really well. And we've had a few reviews through that aren't going to be published until the embargo date tomorrow, but like 8s and 9s and 9.5s out of 10s. We had a 6.5 as well, I think.
Well, we officially don't do numbers on our show. We do a buy it, try it, and deny it. And for me, this is an easy buy it.
There we go. All right.
Like I noticed that the achievements and the stats are finally online, and I'm looking now, and I've already put 8 hours into the game.
Good for you. Good for you, yeah. it will make you smarter. That is my one endorsement. It will make you more intelligent playing more of that game.
I do like that it has with word games, I know a lot of people that just kind of like throw in a bunch of random letters and you're like, oh, that worked. Yeah, I'll just do that. But at least on the side, it gives you the actual definition.
Of course.
of the word.
I can't remember how many. I can't remember how many words there are exactly in there. Probably like 160,000 or something. I don't know. Maybe a small number.
Nothing.
It's like 50% of my vocabulary. You know, I think something like that we based it on. Yeah. So it's really exciting to be on Xbox One, and then we can't wait to get out on PS4 and obviously PS Vita, because I think it's a perfect platform for a title like Letter Quest. You
know, when is it going to be hitting those platforms?
It's going to be on PS platforms the beginning of May, and then we're also doing a Wii U port, which should be out probably mid to end of May, I think.
Nice.
So, and again, yeah, Wii U, I don't know, I'm actually about to launch my first game on Wii U next week, 7 days from now, yeah, 14th. So, we both thought that it was a good platform given the demographic or who owns a Wii U or whatever. So we thought that it was a good choice to take it to Wii U as well, especially because it was built in Unity. So
is the Wii U version going to make use of the touch screen to pick your letters?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And so will the Vita version as well.
Nice.
We work with a great studio called Satchinine Games. A friend of mine called Edward has done the port for us. If anyone's got a Wii U game out there that they want porting, send me an email and I can put you in touch with my friend. A Wii U fit game, whatever. Send me an email. I think that, ideally we want to get this onto 3DS, but we don't know if we can make that work yet. But I think Wii U is a great start for it anyway. It's child friendly and it's an educational tool.
3DS would be really cool, actually.
Yeah, I think it would too. But yeah, we're going to see about that anyway. We'll see what happens over the next sort of 4 to 5 months or whatever. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm sure that's going to be awesome on the Wii U, and I'll keep my fingers crossed for 3DS as well.
Cool. Yeah. I don't play a lot on my 3DS. I play Shovel Knight, and I think that's pretty much all I've played over the last couple of months, actually. Shovel Knight. keep playing Shovel Knight. So yeah,
I'm still behind the curve. I haven't played it yet.
Oh god, damn it, Chris! Get your shit together.
That game was really good until my 8-year-old niece got better than me at it.
Yeah, that's the kicker right there.
So tell us about the game you're releasing on Wii U. What's that one going to be?
Paranautical Activity. So that's the PC game that when we picked up the rights about a year. I think it was fucking 2 years ago now. We picked up the rights to that. The developer, I don't know if you remember, had a little bit of a incident on, like public incident on Twitter, and lost his temper. And there was like a public kind of like threat made to the owner of Valve. And they pulled the game from Steam.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and we picked up. I knew Mark and Travis anyway, so we kind of stayed in touch. We picked up the rights to the IP, and since that we've distributed the PC version, obviously on Steam and GOG, and then we're launching the Wii U version on April the 14th, and the Xbox One version is going to be April the 28th, and then the PS4 and PS Vita versions are going to be early to mid May, I think. I guess you kind of call it a cross between I don't want to compare it to anything that's kind of too monumental, but like Binding of Isaac crossed with Spelunky, but as an FPS.
Fuck you if you actually enjoy games.
You're gonna die. It's very fast paced, but there's an insane soundtrack, and it's got that. I think it was probably the first FPS out there, I want to say, that combined the roguelike and the FPS elements. Since then, there's been like Ziggurat, which was a great title, and obviously like Tower of Guns and a few more. But this title, I think, first launched in 2013. It's been a long road for Power Not Collective, actually. We recently got banned for distribution in Australia because the game has apparently promotes Adderall usage because of
that's all it took.
That was it. Yeah, there's an Adderall pickup in there that which increases your speed, and I think it increases something else. And they anything that promotes like use of drugs in Australia, they don't want. And anything like any kind of like gratuitous violence as well. If you remember that, I think Hotline Miami 2 was banned in Australia as well, and then and then GTA 5 was as well. And I remember the Hotline, Denton Games coming out and saying that if you live in Australia and you want to go buy the game, don't bother, just go fucking pirate it. Which was like,
I remember that.
I'd say the same thing. But obviously the game is available on PC. Like worldwide, but on console it won't be available in Australia on Xbox One or PS4 or PS4.
Was it Fallout that got banned in Australia because it had opium in it, and all they did was just change it to a fake drug and it got approved?
Yeah, probably. It sounds about right. That's kind of how. Don't say backwards, but it's kind of how it is.
Outright stupid.
It's just stupid,
Don't do Adderall, but if you do Gladderiff, that's fine.
sure. Gladderall, yeah.
You would think it would just come to me instantly with the amount of time I played that fucking game.
Well, Fallout.
Yeah. Oh, God. The amount of time I have in Fallout.
Yeah, I never got stuck into it. A friend of mine let me fall out. Zach actually let me fall out 4.
That's not a bad thing, really. Like, I only beat Fallout, the newest Fallout, once, but I've played through it. I'm on my fourth or fifth playthrough. I've finally taken some time away from it, but it's cracked because I just like, I'm going to play it as an asshole until I'm bored. Okay, now I'm going to try and play it as, you know, this kind of, it's almost like a role-playing game for me in like the traditional D&D sense, you know. I'm going to go play as like a murderous barbarian. Let's see how long I'm entertained doing that.
You know? Are you kind of at that point where if you're playing anything else for longer than 10, 20 minutes, you feel like, what am I doing? I could be playing Fallout.
I'd never had that feeling because when Fallout came out, that's all I played.
Okay. Yeah,
when Joe's like, hey, review this game, I'm like, okay, I will review it. Okay, I'm going back to Fallout now. Like, it was just I played a game long enough to get my impression of it, you know, to give a fair impression. But after that, it was like, oh, back to Fallout.
Hey, to give Nick credit here. When I gave you LetterQuest, you said you were gonna like sit down for a half hour, try it out, get a first impression, and then like 3 hours later, you were like, oh my god, I have homework to do.
Yeah, no, I said, I'm pretty sure it was, hey, fuck you for sending me this game. I'm now all the behind on homework.
Yeah, well, it's surprisingly addictive. And
He knows I love puzzle games, which is, you mentioned there aren't many word games, but we did one called Alpha Beats just a month ago, and then this coming out, and I'm just like, holy shit. The happiest time of my life is apparently right now.
What was that called? Alpha Beats on, and that was on Xbox One, was it?
No, it was on Steam. One, letters came down to the beat. Like there were songs built in, but you could actually grab any song on your computer, and it would, and you made words to the beats. And it was a totally different style of game. But cool. What they had in common was make words.
Sure. You know? I think there's still a, there's kind of a funny ground with PC versus console, because obviously you'd have probably 90% of console owners don't have a keyboard. So Mark put a lot of time into the controls for the Xbox One version to make it feel really tight and playable, like, you know, not to feel like it was a game built for PC that had been, there's that train again, by the way.
Yeah.
Playing the game on Xbox One, it doesn't feel like it was a game built for keyboard and mouse. It feels like it was a game built for like an Xbox One controller. And Mark put a lot of time and love into that. And I think anyone that plays it will see that it isn't, you know, even though it's a word game, it's come from PC, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like
it's made for Xbox One.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it feels really nice. Which is, you know, a testament to the amount of hours that Mark put into it, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could show. I got to say, one of the things I love most about the game is the controls. I picked up Boggle when it came out for the Xbox One.
Boggle's for anyone that, Boggle's horrible on the Xbox One, and we identified that pretty early that was, I think that's the only other word game that's actually out on Xbox One at the moment.
Yeah, and the fact I couldn't use a D-pad to select letters in Boggle, where it comes down to precision, drove me insane.
Yeah, Boggle's not a great benchmark for word on console. I'd like to think that LetterQuest will be far more of an accurate representation of what word games should be on console and can be, you know. Yeah.
Just the fact that I could select letters with the D-pad has me happy with LetterQuest.
Ejaculating.
I wish I could spell that. God damn. Think of all the points you would get for that. Jesus.
What's the one that you have as your background on your cunty?
Yeah, it's not a word in the game, but I had the letters for cunty. So I took a screenshot, and that's my background on the Xbox.
Fantastic. I'm sure Mark would be thrilled to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, if only I could share that and not get banned from Xbox for it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I just, like, I walk into the room and I'm, like, I'm looking at the background of your console and I'm just like, the fuck? Like,
does that say cunty?
Does it say cunty? Like,
yeah, but what does cunty mean to you guys? Like, how would you use that word?
It's if someone's acting like a cunt.
they're acting cunty.
For us,
they're acting cunty.
Yeah, for us, it's very much a very, very angry derogatory term. Not yeah. Like, hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
In England, that word's kind of, interchangeable with kind of like buddy, I guess. Like, what's up, you cunt? Like, it's kind of like I wouldn't say it's an endearing term, but it's not it's not as offensive as it is over here. And I learned that lesson very quickly.
Yeah. I'm actually really jealous that you guys get to just like throw it around.
I like that word so much, but if you use it in America, it's like, oh my God, how could you say such a horrific, demonic word? And it's like, stop being a cunt about the word.
Oh, yeah, but
stop acting cunty about it.
All you say is that you're English and you're sorry about it, and you generally get away with it. You know, I can't tell you the amount of times I've used that excuse that, well, I'm English, I didn't know what I was saying.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Okay, yeah, you're fine. Go on.
Maybe I should. I'm gonna try and give that a shot, even though I don't have an English accent.
You'll be fine. Don't worry.
I'm just gonna be like, oh, but I'm English though. We just say it all the time.
Have an accent. Are you being racist?
I'll just be like, I've been in America for long enough.
That's it. But then if you're with an English person, you'll get called out on that because we don't like people that lose their accent, you know? It's like kind of like...
Oh, really?
Why would you lose the one thing that makes you different, you know? Like,
that makes sense.
You said you're in Austin?
I'm in Austin now, but I'm from Northwest England, from Manchester. Yeah,
have you started throwing in Texan terms now? So you're like, yo, what's up, y'all cunts?
Yeah, I say y'all. I say y'all a little bit, yeah. And no, not really, not at all, in fact, no. Yeah. Maybe I occasionally text it, I don't know.
That's why I always laugh. I'm a military brat, so my poor brother, he learned to speak in Michigan, but then in Texas he had speech therapy to fix an issue. So we moved back to Pennsylvania, and people were like, where the fuck are you from?
where in PA did you move back to?
My hometown is a little one called Berwick. Have you ever watched the American The Office?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's Scranton's about what, Joe? About an hour away?
Yeah, so an hour and a half.
You're right. Kind of near like Allentown, right?
Kind of. Yeah. About an hour from there.
Yeah, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, and, cool. Yes. So I when I originally moved over to the States, I lived in Jersey for a bit, and then I lived in Philly for a bit. But my wife's family, they're from like Doylestown and Allentown, and they're kind of from that area.
We know it.
I lived in Allentown for a year.
The great thing about our hometown is you learn the whole state of Pennsylvania, because the moment you get a driver's license, you're out.
The architecture was like beautiful. It reminded me a lot of home. The people up there are
because it's all old as shit.
Yeah, exactly. The people there, they're
old as shit.
They're old, but they're a little bit more. You know, everyone up there, everyone like Northeast, they're a little bit more direct and like they're cool. Like I like that. I like that part of America. I really do. You know.
So you can attest that every single coal town in Pennsylvania looks exactly the same.
I don't know. I've not been to everyone, but you know, yeah, the ones I've been to.
Yeah. Yeah.
The majority. You only know you're in Chicoleteague because you saw the sign. Otherwise, it could have been any coal town.
Yeah, but they're all, you know, all the people are cool, and yeah, I've got no.
Hey, Centralia stands out. They have their defining factor of being on fire. Yeah,
being on fire.
The point of pride of having lived in Pennsylvania for any amount of time is you can actually say Chicoleteague.
I can't say that. So
Chicoleteague, Catasauqua, Shikshini, Catawissa, Nescapec.
What about Conshohocken?
Yeah,
I love Conshohocken.
There's another one.
There's an IKEA in Conshohocken.
Oh wow, there's something to fucking love. Those
arrows. That is literally the only reason why I know about Conshohocken, because it is the closest IKEA.
Now, throwing in towns though, I did get stumped when I had to do I spent 4 months doing funerals for the Air Force, because that's fun. We drove and did a funeral in New York, and we stopped in a town, and it was spelled P-O-U-G-H. K-E-E-P-S-I-E, and neither of us had any idea how to say
Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. Yeah. I'm like, why do you have eight more fucking vowels than you need?
It sounds like Welsh language.
It's weird.
Celtic, yeah.
My grandmother is Welsh, and she, oh my god, she could actually speak it, and it was amazing. It's like, where's the vowels?
Yeah, there aren't any.
And whys, those are vowels, but that's not how it's supposed to work.
Maybe we should implement Welsh language into LetterQuest. That'd probably be interesting.
Oh my lord!
That'd probably fuck the achievements up quite a bit.
Have you considered doing any foreign versions of the game?
Absolutely not. No, it's
absolutely not.
Have you considered doing a French or Spanish version?
We could localize the like the menus and the tutorials but I don't know enough about how the game's actually programmed to say why we couldn't do a foreign language version, but I know that it's just it'd be like a complete rebuild of the game.
What would be interesting though is if you localized it, you could sell it as a tool to help people learn English.
We can still sell it as that anyway. We can still kind of sell it as that.
Learn English, figure out the menus.
Yeah, there we go.
Actually, I was stationed in Japan for 2 years, and my roommate bought a Japanese GameCube, because that's how long ago it was, and he did it so he could improve his skills at reading and understanding the language. He's like, yeah, I got 2 years of class, and I'm kind of with it, but now I have to figure this shit out, because I'm trying to play a video game.
Well, yeah, that's what's more important, right?
Helps for all the games that never come over here, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, he can. Oh yeah, I just imported it. But don't you? No, I know what it's saying. Good.
It's like Dale North. He could do that shit.
Yeah. Good damn times. Multi.
So I guess we should go back to talking about your other games. You mentioned Slain just came out on PC, but there were some issues. What's going on with that?
So it launched March 24th, and we had a few issues, I guess. we're about to announce like a patch plan for it. There was just some problems internally, and you know, as it had been delayed so much, it had been delayed like for over a year from the initial like launch date, and that was 2 years into development, and then with the other year, it was like 3 years. I've been working with the studio for 2 years, and you know, I think I probably wrongfully made a call to launch it a little bit early. But my budget ran out, and you know, I kind of had to ship it when I had to ship it, because I'd you know, every month that the game's late, it costs money, and you know, with so many other like concurrent projects running at the same time across different platforms, and you know, I'm paying out advances, and you're just paying a whole bunch of shit being a publisher. You know, I kind of had to make a call, and I probably should have launched early access, but I thought that with the delays and you know, just with that kind of the history of the game to that point, I just thought that people would lose too much confidence in it. And I launched it, and it just wasn't really working correctly. So yeah, you know, we've got another programmer on board now that's going to help us fix some of the issues in game, and we're going to be patching the game. We've not announced this yet, but we're going to be patching it again. We're going to be patching it for the first time in about 4 to 5 weeks, like fixing basic functionality, and then in about 6 to 7 weeks after that, we're going to be doing like a, you know, like a gameplay patch and fixing kind of more like the core issues. But you know, Slayer has a lot of potential, and the potential's still there. The community really, really want to like the game, and you know, we want to thank everyone that has kind of picked the game up and hasn't given us a ton of shit over it, because I think that some people kind of understand that, you know, when you see a development process like that, when there's, you know, you kind of been, there's been kind of stumbling blocks along the way, and you know, yeah, you know, I just had to make a call to launch it, and you know, we just need to get it up to a standard now where it's going to perform well on console, which we can totally do given the other programmer that we've got on board. And you know, the artwork, I feel like the art direction, the music, they're both fantastic, but yeah, there were some problems with some of the bits, and yeah, you know, it's been tough for all of us, because it's kind of been my baby as well as it's been Wolf Brew Games, Andrew Gilmore. It's been his baby. You know, it was kind of his, like, was his, you know, like idea from like 3 years ago. And then I came on board 2 years ago, and the scope kind of grew, and we just didn't, you know, we were all new working together. There was a new studio, new people working together on the same projects, and yeah, you know, it's not easy. It's not an easy game. You know, it's sad to see people get really pissed off about the fact that Slayer wasn't what they expected. But I don't think that as a publisher, I particularly oversold the products, other than, you know, just advertising the artwork, and which the artwork, you know, show me a fucking better pixel artist than that. But it's not all, it's not all about, show me a better pixel artist than Andrew Gilmore. You know, he's, but it's not about the, it's not just about how it looks, it's about how it plays. Yeah. And yeah, you know, so that's where Slayer's at, and I'm totally 100% confident that it will get up to the standard that everyone expected it and wanted it to be. It's just going to take a little bit longer, you know, and we're given total kind of clarity, visibility on what our plans are. And yeah, you know, we're going to get the first patch out in 4 to 5 weeks, and then the larger one out after, like I say, yeah, no more than 12 weeks, you know, prior to kind of the start of the announcement. So, yeah.
Well,
so,
in my eyes, the important part here is that you know it needs improvement and you're working to make it better, and you didn't just release it and say, tough shit, we have your money.
No, we didn't at all. It wasn't like that. You know, it wasn't, you know, you know, Andrew, myself, the other, you know, the rest of the team, we all have to make a living, and you know, there was no conscious effort to to, you know, release it and it be broken. It just happened the way it happened, and you know, we've all learned a lot of lessons from it, and we really appreciate how supportive everyone's been, that they don't just want to kind of throw it to the wolves. They people actually want to like the game, you know, and they will. I guarantee people will end up liking the game by the time it, you know, we quote unquote re-release it, you know. If I could rewind time, I would have released it as an early access and kind of not thought about what the community and the fans felt. But you know, I follow the press very, very closely, you know, like 2-3 hours a day, most days I read articles and look at customer reviews and everything else, you know, and you know, I just kind of made a call on it, and yeah, hands up, I think it was the wrong call, but you know, people have given us a chance to fix it, and yeah, you know, I think that people know that we weren't purposely trying to mislead them with anything at all, because we weren't. It happened the way it happened, and you know, if there was an unlimited amount of cash, then we could have probably, you know, sat on it for another 6 months, 12 months, and maybe released it then, but it's just not the way the business works, you know?
To be fair, I think all of us would like an unlimited pile of cash.
Well, exactly, right? Exactly, you know, it's like Scrooge McDuck style, right?
Hell yeah.
I'm still confused as to how he never gave himself, like, a freaking concussion trying to dive into that fucking... it doesn't make any sense.
That's why you need more notes than coins, I think.
Because they're all chocolate coins, Chris.
Oh, they're all chocolate coins.
They're all light chocolate coins.
Yeah.
They're ducks. What the fuck kind of realism are you looking for?
yeah, right.
Listen. I think they should have had them neatly stacked up against the walls so that they would have more than enough area for activities in the center.
I mean, there was large enough walls. If you want to get technical, they're all just walking around with their dicks hanging out because they don't have pants. They only wear shirts.
Which is equally as big of a problem.
It's equally as horny.
Continuity is important to me.
They've all got nice butts. So
dat ass.
There we go. Dat ass.
So are the Slain issues, is that going to affect the console release window? I know last I talked with you, you were saying it might be May for that. Is that looking to be bumped further into the summer?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be July, August before we get out on console. But it's definitely for the greater good, you know. And we, you know, we've got a plan for Slain Part 2, and we know where we went wrong with Slain 1. And, you know, we know that Andrew fucking nailed the art direction, and the guy that did the music, Kurt Victor Bryant from Celtic Frost, like, nailed the music. There are some small tweaks that need to be made, but you know, Slain 2 is going to be a totally different beast, and that will probably be out mid-2017. But yeah, the console versions, and I've played Slain on Xbox One already. I played an early version of Xbox One. I've also played on Vita. It looks fucking incredible on the Vita. And we need to fix some of the kind of the core issues. But you know, we've got no doubt that it's going to be where it needs to be.
Nice.
Come console release time. And then yeah, we've got another title called The Sun and Moon, which was a Ludum Dare 29 winning title. The game was the theme of the Ludum Dare was beneath the surface, and we're releasing that on PS4 and PS Vita later on this month as well. It's a really interesting kind of like a Twitch platformer, I guess. The premise of the game is that you can like shift from above the surface to beneath the surface, and when you shift beneath the surface, gravity inverts, and the gravity will then push you upwards. So you could actually use like the inversion mechanic to propel you, and you have to collect 3 orbs before you move through the portal. And it creates some really interesting and unique like level design opportunities. And Daniel Linson, who he has done a bunch of Game Jam games that have been very, very well received. We released that on PC last November, I think November 2014. And yeah, Daniel's been working on other projects, and we're kind of handling the port work, and it's out on PS4 and PS Vita. Is that the 20th? I think it's the 20th. 1 second, I'll just check the date. It is out on the 20th. The 20th in Europe and the 19th in America.
Any Xbox plans for that one?
Yeah. The Xbox plans have been worked out. I actually showed the Xbox One version at a pre-GDC Loft event last year, 2015. But we just hit a few snags with the porting process, and it's been put on hold. But yeah, there are definitely plans for that as well.
Nice.
I can send you guys a link for the trailer or whatever.
Fantastic. Yeah, we are definitely Xbox fans on this show.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, I'm actually the only one on the show who owns basically anything else.
Well, PC.
I'm talking console.
Okay. Else. Any other console.
Okay, any other console.
Yeah, I know. I just pulled a well actually on you, and I don't regret it.
Blow me. Blow me.
Well, actually.
Well, actually, I can't because I'm in Las Vegas.
That's a thing in my job. I'm trying to I poke fun at with people. Well, actually,
I have to correct you, sir. But yeah, it sounds like Digirati's got a shitload of games coming out.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we've been working hard in the background, and yeah, I'd like to have more PC games out this year, but. It's okay. We've got a couple more hitting for 2016, and yeah, the rest is just going to be console. And then next year, I've got a couple of really, really exciting. Unexciting announced projects. The other way around,
a bunch of really boring, shitty games. No, but they're going to pay the bill.
We've got a couple of really, really exciting projects for next year. But we've not announced them yet. But I'm working with a few fantastic studios, and I've got a new team member that's really kind of helping Digirati and myself move forward. And yeah, we'll be announcing that soon, maybe. But we've just kept our eye on good content, and I'm going to keep doing that, pushing forward. And I feel like that's kind of the only way at the moment where there's a lot of publishers, we're all kind of fighting for the same space. I feel that the only way to kind of differentiate yourself is by keeping an eye on like kind of quality content. So I don't want someone to buy a game because it looks like a genre that they're interested in. I just want them to buy a game because it's a Digirati title, and that's kind of like a seal of approval, if you like.
Yeah, like a promise.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you like it, like a fucking Devolver title or an Adult Swim title or those other guys, yeah. So yeah, anyway, that's kind of the angle I'm going for. But I'm kind of diversifying myself a little bit more, and not just going after one kind of specific genre or one specific like kind of aesthetic or So that's us anyway.
Awesome. Well, I know we're creeping up on about an hour here, so I figure we could wrap this up. I'm not sure if there's anything else you want to talk about with Letter Quest or any of the other games coming out.
No, just go, just check out the Xbox One store tomorrow and pick up a copy of Letter Quest. If you like to spell and, I don't know, feel like you're doing work when you should be playing games.
And how much is the game going to cost?
On Xbox One, it's $9.99. And, it's going to be the same on PS4, PS Vita, but I know we don't talk about those platforms on this show. So
I'm glad that
it is, because that means more people are going to get to play it and enjoy it.
There we go. And then, Pavanautica Activity is out at the end of the month on Xbox One as well. It's $9.99. That's the roguelike FPS. And
you said Wii U in like 2 weeks?
Wii U, April the 14th, and then I've also got another really exciting title, which we haven't quite announced yet because we've had some problems getting through. It's kind of a unique title to the Xbox One platform. It's called Kill All Zombies. I'm working with a company called Beach Air, a Russian-Ukrainian company called Beach Shapers.
Yeah, Ukrainians.
Yeah, they're well, fantastic people. Yeah,
sorry, that's where my name came from. So it's nice that I just get all excited.
They're a lot of fun to work with, and they keep us on our toes. And so the game Killer Zombies has integrated streaming interactions, so people can watch through Twitch, and then they can actually affect the gameplay based on like a preset of commands that they can then import while they're watching the gameplay. But there's been some kind of teething issues with the tech behind that, I guess. So. So yeah, that game's coming out. I don't know. We're hoping the end of April, but it's probably going to be end of May.
I love Beat Shapers. They put out awesome games. Wizorb, Break Quest Evolution is awesome. So yeah,
and Kill Zombies was a hit on PS4. So yeah, we've got the Xbox One rights, and we're putting that out soon.
That's awesome to hear. That's really cool.
So yeah, so that's us for the next few months. But thank you guys. I feel like I've been fucking talking forever. I feel like I need another beer now. thank you. I hope it's been interesting to listen to. I don't know.
It's been fantastic. Please come back sometime when you have more stuff to talk about. I am eagerly awaiting.
Anything else to talk about forever now? I think you've milked me dry for one of them.
We're good through the spring. We'll bring you back in the summer.
That's fine. That'll give me time to fatten up, and you can milk me again. At the end of the summer, that's no problem. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. Nice to finally meet everyone.
All right. Well, do you have any final words for our listeners?
Vote Trump. No, I'm joking.
I don't know.
No, I don't fight unless I know anything about politics.
That's a very cunty thing to say, by the way.
Sorry. I don't fucking know. English people don't give a shit about politics. Like, you hear more about politics here than you fucking do than you do it in a fucking year in England. Like, I don't know. I don't care. Don't care about the world. Family, we don't care about anything else. No, so I don't know. Just look out for Detroit in the future. And thank you, I guess. I don't know.
All right. It's been awesome. Thanks for joining us. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Guys.
All right. Take it easy, Nick. Oh man, that was fun though.
It was really nice. I'm really quick, just trying to scroll down and find something in my fucking Gmail, and I lost it already.
What the hell did you lose? Why? How can?
No, nothing. I'm trying to find out why the fuck I still haven't gotten my state taxes back. I faxed them everything, but I keep forgetting my login for H&R Block.
Oh, I'm going to punch you in the dick. Anyway, since Chris bowed out and we are done with the guest, should we jump on to reviews or contests first? What do you want to do?
Let's do the contests. I always like to end with the reviews.
All right. Well, the first game that we can give away is going to be Organic Panic. We reviewed this one last week. It was developed and published by Last Limb. It's available for $15, but we have one code spare that we can give away. So let's give someone a copy of the game. How's that sound?
Do I have to?
How's that fucking sound?
Do I have to?
Yes. Yes, you do. And you have those emails, so you're going to read this one off.
Sorry, I just got angry.
For what?
I faxed PA my shit. Hey, everyone, when you do your taxes, call somebody for confirmation. I faxed them my stuff, and now they're saying, oh, no, we still haven't gotten it. I'm like, bitches, you owed me my money in January. Anyhow, on to Organic Panic. Seriously, it's $1,200, Joe. I'm not just going to fucking dick around and not want my $1,200.
Well, if you want to be that way.
Shit. I do, actually. $1,207, guys. Where my money? Bitch, where my money?
Bitch.
All right. So, anyhow, I suppose it's now time for email.
Yes, I'm trying to get you to fucking start this contest already. Jesus Christ.
La, 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 la. Just getting myself ready.
I hate you.
What?
Why? Hate you. Anyway, Organic Panic giveaway. We have one code to give away. You are wasting too much fucking time.
Six people. Daniel N. writes, I think organic food is just a fad. It gives grocers an excuse to charge you an arm and a leg as much as five times as much for your fruits and veggies as much. Not that last one. Pesticides are good for you. Don't believe the hype. GMOs are good for you, too. I mean, how else can you enjoy fruits like watermelon that have been genetically engineered to be seedless? Just look at all the benefits. They outweigh the negative aspects. Drops Mike, ends rant. I personally believe that GMOs are fine for people. It's just some people don't know. Oh, genetically modified. But anyhow, Snuffbox not telling. I honestly have a horrible disease. I'm allergic to most fruit and vegetables. I am not allergic to kiwi or cherry. I would love a couple right now. Please allow me to enjoy the very few fruit I can eat. P.S. Thanks for the chance.
And kiwi and cherries are in the game, so.
I'm pretty confident that's probably why.
And the funny thing is, Ashley is incredibly allergic to kiwi.
To kiwi, yeah. Eating a kiwi near her could murder her.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
I doubt it. Nick Nunn, this game just looks super colorful, vibrant, and fun, and I'd love a chance to play it. Smiley face.
Concise, to the point, good.
Lana Lokers, I'm a vegan Lana. And love I'm a vegan and love platformers, so this game seems tailor-made for me and would love the opportunity to play it. Who would love the opportunity to play it? It's not a complete sentence, Lana. See me after class. Alex Cat, as a long-standing sufferer of panic attacks and social anxiety that keeps me indoors most of the time playing video games, I need another one to play as I'm short on money until I get my tax return in the coming months. Yeah, tell me about it, Alex. They'll take your money.
That was an incredibly well-timed outburst from you leading into that email, by the way.
What's that?
You're both bitching about taxes right now.
So. Yeah, no, that's as I said, that's great. Zach Lyons.
Zach!
Will Organic Panic satisfy my craving for not only exciting platforming, but also a nutritious and well-balanced meal? I hope not, because I hate nutritious, well-balanced meals. Anyway, I want the thing, please. And I don't know if it's you or him, but in tiny little letters it says, sent from my antisocial device.
That was him.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, obviously, after my little rant, I'm kind of leaning towards Alex. But I would definitely say...
Well, let's go down it. Daniel N. thinks pesticides are a scam.
Organic's a fad, yeah. Snuffbox is allergic to everything but kiwi and cherry.
And Nick likes colorful things.
So I like colors, too.
Lana is a vegan who likes platformers.
A platforming vegan.
I wonder if Chris would give her the vote.
Probably. I mean, that's why I'm leaning towards Alex, because, hey, tax returns.
So Alex has panic attacks and social anxiety and wants something to play. And then Zach hates nutritious things.
Yeah.
So you're kind of leaning towards Alex.
Yeah.
And I think Chris would lean towards Lana.
Yeah.
So you know what this calls for.
Flip of the coin, heads for Alex, tails for Lana.
All right, here we go. Heads. So it went to Alex. You said heads for Alex, tails to Lana. Didn't you?
Yeah. Fuck, I forgot already.
Am I going to have to reflip?
No, you're fine.
Was it heads for Alex, tails for Lana, or was it heads for Lana?
No, it was heads for Alex, tails for Lana.
Okay, so then Alex won it. God damn you. All right, next contest is actually for the game Chris was supposed to review but didn't. RBI Baseball 16, courtesy of MLB, which is pretty freaking cool that they hooked us up with some review copies of the game. Developed and published by Major League Baseball Advanced Media, released on March 29th for $20. But we have two codes to give away to our wonderful listeners.
How many emails?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7.
Well, it's technically better odds for this one.
first one is from Ian Lindsay. He writes, go here. I would love to win this game. The reason is baseball is not very big here in New Zealand, and we missed a lot of the other baseball games that were released due to being region locked. Plus, I love the stuff you guys do. Keep up the work. Let's see. Ass kisser?
And I appreciate it.
That always gets points with us.
Honestly, when I hear I'm a fan of baseball, I'm kind of like, wow, you're like a unicorn.
All right, next one is from Daniel N. He says, you know what wasn't a home run? Last night's episode of The Walking Dead. Not going to spoil it for those who haven't seen it yet, but what a major letdown. I'm hoping to win a copy of RBI Baseball 16 so I dull the pain of having to wait until the season 7 premiere to find out who got to eat the business end of Lucille. I'm so disappointed that I wanted it to be me.
and you watch the show, right? So
yeah.
You get the joke.
Oh my god, I was so pissed with that. I don't even want to watch The Walking Dead anymore.
I don't watch the show, so.
I like how he says, I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to spoil it right here.
Well, he didn't. He just said he wished he was the one who got shot, because it was that
Well,
bad.
No one got shot. Do you know who Lucille is?
No, I really thought that was the name someone gave their shotgun.
No, Lucille is the name that Negan gave his barbed wire-wrapped bat.
No, it was close. I mean, it was a weapon.
And okay, I'm dropping spoilers here because I don't give a shit because I'm so pissed off. But in issue 100 of The Walking Dead comic, Negan beats Glenn to death. In the show, which many people expected to mirror the comic, he was picking someone with the whole eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which is what happened in the comic. And then it cut to a first-person view and showed them getting beat in first person by Negan. Cut to black, sound effects, crunching, someone clearly dying, a lot of people screaming, roll credits.
Oh, so they did a fuck you, tune in next season.
They did a gigantic fuck you to tune in next season.
Well, you know
what?
Since it's TV, it's not going to be a major character. It's going to be, you know, the least important person in that lineup.
Well, no, a lot of people think it's still going to be Glenn because... You know, that...
Oh god, I hope they piss you off even further and it was a flashback.
No, it wouldn't be a flashback. That's not
I'm
how the
saying.
Show
That's why it would piss you off further, Joe. Come on, keep up.
You need to watch the show and understand why. Never mind. You're terrible at this. Next
yes,
email.
I am terrible at caring.
Next email is from Nick Nunn. He says, I am a lifelong and long-suffering Tigers fan growing up in Michigan along with my dad, who got me into the sport, and while we've come close several times the last few years, it's still been forever since they've won the World Series. But we still watch every game every year together, starting again last night when we sat down on the couch again, finally to watch an opening day win against Miami. Always have to have faith, this will be the year. Nick,
yeah,
Tigers fan.
My little brother is also a Tigers fan, and that's why he stopped watching baseball.
Next one is from the one and only Shiz Blacka. He says, greetings, SML, if that is indeed your real name. It has come to my attention that you are doing a giveaway for RBI. I propose hooking a brother up, as it were, due to two reasons. One, being an MLG pro specializing in sports, it's only logical that you help fuel the fire that is my competitive destruction. Number two, the Joe Camnet special. Thank you for your cooperation, your favorite, Shiz Blacka. Oh, man.
Well, he used clear and evident bribery.
He did. This is going to be a tough decision. Next one is from Lana, Lokers again. I just started getting into baseball last year, though watching the White Sox with my boyfriend, who's a mega fan and would love a chance at getting a game that we could both enjoy and play. Play with BF.
Yay.
And Potato is standing on the iPad. Get the fuck out of here. Next one is from Alex Cadigan, who says, I've never played a baseball game before, but love to start and see if I like it. Noob.
That's fair.
And final entry is from Zach Lyons again, who says, I don't remember the last time I played a baseball game, so I reckon I'm overdue. Also, I was blackmailed into sending this email sent from my Fleshlight device. What the fuck? Blackmail. So
we got three blackmails.
So we have Ian, who is an ass-kissing New Zealander who likes baseball. Daniel, who is pissed off about The Walking Dead. Nick N, who is a sad Tigers fan. Shiz, who is Shiz. Lana, who wants to play with her boyfriend. Alex Cat, who is new to baseball games and wants to try it out. And Zach, who is Zach.
I honestly want to make it hard on you. I really want to give one copy to the long-suffering Tigers fan.
All right, so Nick will get one.
Yeah, because he had a nice story, you know?
And
it's obvious that he loves baseball because he still watches it as a Tigers fan.
Yeah. I'm kind of torn between Ian and Daniel. Daniel because of the whole Walking Dead thing, but Ian sounds like a legit baseball fan, and I kind of want to give it to him.
Go for it. Let's do that. Let's give it to people who actually love baseball.
All right. So Nick Nunn and Ian, you are the two winners of the contest, Ian Lindsay. So congrats. Right. You guys get RBI Baseball 16, courtesy of MLB, which is a weird thing to say.
So that's all the contests?
Technically, yes, but we have one more email. I was talking with Snuffbox Not Tellin' in Shiz's chat room, and I mentioned BitBlaster XL, which we talked about on the show last week. And I tossed a code over to him and said to just send us an email with why he would want it, just to, you know, give us some content on the show, because I'm shameless like that. He said, I recently listened to the podcast where we were talking about BitBlaster on Steam for 50 cents. It looks absolutely great. I would love the chance to try it out and see what I think. I'm normally not into shoot 'em ups, but it could be very fun. Even if I don't win, I'm definitely buying it to support the devs. Well, he got a code already, so the veil of mystique is gone.
Well, then, what games do we have to talk about today?
All right. The first game that we have to talk about is, Stickbold, a dodgeball adventure developed by Game Swing, published by Curve Digital. It releases April 8th, so it should be out by the time you hear this, for $9.99. It is a bright and colorful dodgeball game made by Nordic people. Who quite
Nordic
possibly
people.
Took a lot of drugs because
Aww.
the
and
game
is a PS4 exclusive.
No, it's on Xbox One.
You lied to me, internet.
It comes
you,
out.
Internet.
It comes out like it might be out now for all I know.
Well, no, press on. The internet lied to me.
Yes, I know it did because I fucking reviewed it on the Xbox. You schmuck. Aww. Anyway, it is a 2-on-2 or 2-on-3, depending on the stage, dodgeball game where you and a partner, the story is that basically you and your partner are going to go to the finals and you want to win this year after being runner-up last year, and you are trying to get revenge on both the team that beat you and the girl who you are lusting after. But they get kidnapped by
the
devil. Yes, yes.
Okay.
But they get kidnapped by the devil. So you can already tell that the story is insane.
I'm watching the trailer right now as you talk, so it's awesome.
Yeah. First off, all the game is spoken in Swedish, Icelandic. I have no idea. I'm too brain dead to think of what language it is. But it is hilarious just to hear them go, derby, gerba, derba, dodgeball, derby. It's just
Danish. They're from Copenhagen, so it's Dutch.
Okay. Well, I blame Diggy Diss for that, I guess.
Fair enough.
It is a lot of fun to play. That you go through, I want to say like 13 campaign stages, where you start off in a gym, you know, training for it. You then go to like you while trying to track down the devil, you bump into hippies, you go to a beach, you go on top of an oil, you eventually go to hell, and you have to, depending on the stage, you have to take out, you know, either your opponents or might there might be an objective where you have to take out a bunch of people rushing you or a boss or something like that. And it's just ridiculously fun. And for $10, I give it a definite buy it because it's just, this is a game that I actually played with Ashley. And she enjoyed it.
That makes that a buy it for the whole fucking planet.
Pretty
this
much.
Is like what, the sixth video game she's enjoyed in the history of ever?
Pretty much. It's insane that she had a lot of fun with it. And when I was, my one gripe with it is her and I played campaign together and then I wanted to pick it up some more and play to get further in the campaign. But your campaign doesn't carry over if you have a two player campaign, you have to start a new one.
Okay,
that was so kind of a bummer, but I can understand. Then the campaigns, each stage has like three sub objectives that you can do, like not getting hit or, you know, hitting so many things in a row, stuff like that. Actually, Ashley is out here. So do you want to talk about Stickbold? The dodgeball game. Come here. Come over here. The mic's not going to pick you up on the couch.
But why not?
So
get a better mic.
So you enjoyed Stickbold, correct?
I have no idea what that is.
Do you see how little you have to talk?
Hello.
God.
Hello.
I don't know what that game is.
Stickbold, the dodgeball one.
Oh yeah, that was so much fun. Actually, I liked it.
So for $10, would you recommend people buy it?
Oh God, absolutely.
There you go. The final word from my wife. While she's here, the second game that we need to discuss this week is called Cat Lateral Damage. It is developed by Manecoware, published by Firehose Games. It released March 22nd on the PS4 for $9.99. Ashley, this one is all you.
Well, my review is that this game is pretty awesome.
Tell us about the game.
Well, you get to pick all different kinds of cats you can be, and then you go into these rooms and you knock things over like my cats do.
That sounds perfect.
It's amazing. Everyone should get it.
So this is one of those you finally get to see how much fun it is to be an asshole furball.
Yes. I just wish some of the power-ups gave you more time, because I like to hit everything, and I always run out of time.
Just all the things.
Yes.
It looks like a fun game. I'm sad that I haven't had time to play it. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, though. We were discussing the sheer three or four video games that you've enjoyed over your entire life. So I'm glad that there's more.
Well, you should definitely try it. It's a lot of fun.
I will. I will definitely try it. Just watching someone else play it is adorable.
All right.
So is there catnip? Can you get high on the catnip in the game?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. This is a winner. Thank you, Ashley.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're a much better co-host than Joe.
Definitely. All right. Here's Joe. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So yeah, two games that my wife actually played in 1 week.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Yeah, she did inform me that you can get high on catnip, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's actually a stupidly fun game. Ashley didn't mention it, but is a first-person cat simulator. She did mention the whole just run around different rooms and knock shit off shelves. There are two modes in the game. One is objective mode, where you have to knock off a certain number of things in a time limit. And then there is litter box mode, which is basically sandbox mode, where you have free reign to just run around, no time limits, no constraints, and just knock shit over. There's houses you could go in. There is a holiday-style den. There is a mad scientist lab. There's a museum, a museum.
Now, I missed Well, you said, what consoles does this come out on?
PlayStation 4, and I believe it's on Steam as well. I don't know if there's any Xbox plans for it, but I've been bugging them about it, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. I would
$10 on Steam. How much was it on?
$10.
So you would recommend this just for catharsis?
Oh God, yeah. It's not. You're not going to sit down and, you know, hardcore MLG gameplay this. This is just to fuck around, relax, and live life in the eyes of a kitty cat, like Potato, who is on my desk again.
I can't even say an asshole cat. Like, live life like most cats.
Yeah. And it's fun. You just,
the only difference is, instead of knocking things down occasionally, you just do it all at once.
Yeah.
And they're in a grocery store. Just watching a Let's Play on mute. They're just knocking donuts on the ground.
Yeah. It's fun for $10. Yeah, it's just stupidly fun, and I would recommend it. It's another buy it easily.
Oh God, I'm broke.
did you play Adam's Venture Origins?
No.
You son of a bitch.
Yes.
That was one of the games to talk about this week.
Is that the one you sent me the code for yesterday?
No, this is the one I gave you like a week ago for Steam.
I completely failed to even fucking install the game.
You are terrible at this. Well, that's your homework for next week, but I'm going to give my first, my review on it. I'm so glad that you fucking, God damn it. Adam's Venture was originally developed by Vertigo Games. Adam's Venture Origins was kind of retooled and re-released by Sodesco. It released April 1st on Steam, Xbox One, PS4 for $49.99. It is a compilation of the episodic Adam's Venture Chronicles games mashed up, a little bit of remixing, some different puzzles, some adjustments, all in one package. The game has some hitches to it, like graphically it could have some bugs, some glitches. Overall, it's a very nice looking game. The puzzle, it is a third person puzzle game. Like, there's exploration, there's no combat, so you know, there's, you know, exploring areas, some light platforming, a lot of puzzle work. So if you're familiar with the puzzles from the Artifacts Mundi games, stuff like that, there's only a handful of puzzles that were super annoying. The dynamite defusing puzzles themselves can just go to hell. I hated those. I eventually had to solve those with random guessing. you'll see when you get to it.
I apologize. I completely missed this one somehow.
You a punk.
Yes.
Control-wise, it feels kind of clunky, but nothing too bad considering there's no combat. You don't really need any super fast reflexes for it. It's not a very long game. I completed it in just under 5 hours, but that included replaying a handful of stages to show other people, and then getting stuck on the dynamite puzzles, and then I would say a nice chunk of that was from reloading, because my first big complaint in the game is the stealth sections. The stealth sections in this game drove me nuts. It felt like it was too easy to get spotted, while at the same time the AI were idiots about finding you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, unfortunately it does.
A lot of it came down to kind of trial and error, or just sitting and waiting to see where they went. Like, I would get past one guard, get to the next area, and then just out of nowhere there's a guard. I'm like, well, crap, I didn't see that thing. So a lot of failing and reloading from there. The load times were kind of irritating after you would get caught, and it just seemed to take a little bit too long considering you were just there. But I know how some games kind of have to reload the entire area instead of just resetting it, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, that sounds a little frustrating there.
visually, again, I said it looks good, but it definitely does have some graphical issues with it. There's a lot of pop in, a lot of texture disappearing in certain areas.
So you're basically saying it was fun, but it seemed a little rough around the edges, so like a little more time could have been spent polishing it.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it comes down to the fact that it's originally like a PS3 game. I mean, you could tell it's been spruced up and it looks good. Overall, it is a fun time. It was an enjoyable game. I didn't have any, like, I wasn't there like, oh man, this game. So, like, I enjoyed my time with it, but that price tag is, I can't look past the fact that it's priced at a $50 game. When I went into this, my review was going to be a try it because it was a fun, entertaining game, but I was under the impression that it was a $20 game. At a $50 game, I hate doing this, but I have to give it a deny it. If it drops in price, you know, it's worth checking out. It's worth looking into if there's a sale or if they drop the price on the game. Or if you have money to burn and you're just looking for a puzzle adventure, third-person adventure kind of game, it's, you know, it's worth checking out. But at $50, I have to give it a deny it.
Yeah. And that's something we've talked about a lot is pricing. And it's that, you know, you can't bash a game for its price if you haven't tried, if you don't know anything about it. You can't just be like, oh, fuck this game. But we play it. You know, you got to play the game so you can make a little more of an educated recommendation. Like, hey, I did play the game. And we're pretty fast and loose with, or not, yeah, we're pretty fast and loose with pricing. We're pretty good at justifying, like, yeah, no, this game is 25, but here, you know. So if you're saying, dude, you really want to hold off, I can't find enough reasons to pay $50, then I'd say that, you know, that's a pretty valuable recommendation for our listeners.
Yeah, I've said from the beginning,
going, oh, my God.
I want, like, the majority of our reviews to be, like, try it, because I don't like being overly critical of games. I understand how much time and work goes into creating these. All the people that we've talked with, I don't want to give deny-its on this show, but the game that's there, for how short it is and the price that they're asking, I can't in good faith recommend to our listeners to drop $50 on this. I would wait for some kind of, even if it was 25 or 30, it would be like the lower end of my try it's. I legitimately thought this was a $20 game going in, and that's why I want your opinion on this as well, so you can try it. They did say that the Steam version is the best of it. They initially sent a Steam code, and I passed it on to you, and I mentioned that I was planning on checking out the Xbox version, and they were nice enough to provide me with an Xbox code to give it a second opinion. But they made sure to mention that the Xbox or the Steam version of the game was the best looking version, because they could add more bells and whistles. I'm not expecting, like, super miracles compared to the Xbox One.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Because, yeah, I actually have been keeping a list of all the games that I played this year, just period. And I'm at 40, and I have 5 deny-its. And I really think on the show I only gave them two of them a deny-it, but then I went back, or I think I only gave out 2 deny-its verbally on the show. But, you know, since I just made this list, I kind of went back and thought about it. And I'd say, even still, if there's only 5 out of 40 games I wouldn't recommend, you at least give it a try. That's, we're not throwing out abuse.
Yeah, like we're not trying to be harsh on this show. We like being, looking at the positives in games. And again, I did have fun with the game, but $50, I just can't.
Because both of us are you know, very fair in that, hey, it wasn't for me, but I can totally see why you would enjoy it here. Give it a try, yeah. You know? I've been pretty careful about that. Hey, like We Are the Dwarves. If you like difficult strategic real-time games, try it.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't ever want to play it again because I was just fucking terrible at it.
Yeah, and again,
but I'm not saying, oh, the game sucks because I was bad. I'm saying if you're bad like me, maybe not give it a try. But if you're decent, try it. You may really enjoy yourself, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, one more game to talk about tonight. It is called Night Solitaire, developed and published by 8 Floor Limited, released March 29th for $5 on the PlayStation Vita. 8 Floor has been awesome with us, hooking us up with all these Vita games they've been releasing. They also put out the tower defense games that we've been talking about. Shit, I feel like an idiot. I'm getting old. But they also put out... No, it was for the Vita. If my Vita was next to me, I'd be able to pick it up and look. But anyway,
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the second one that they released was like a direct.
Yeah, Banner or something.
That wasn't Banner Saga. You're drunk. Just give up. Anyway, Night Solitaire is another solitaire from 8th Floor. It has obviously a medieval theme to it. I'm trying to remember, is it Pyramid or Tri-Peaks where it starts with the card and then you can go one in either direction? Like it starts with the 5 and then you could go 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack, 10, 9, 8, 7. Like, do you remember which one that is?
I can confidently tell you that I have no fucking idea.
Well, it's that version of Solitaire. There are a ton of stages in it. There are, I want to say, 12 stages in the Squire pack, and then there's also a Knight pack, which I haven't unlocked yet because I didn't beat Squire. I've gone through 6 of the worlds in the Squire pack, and each world has 10 stages. So there's a shitload of stages in here. I kind of did what you did with Letter Quest, where I was going to fire it up and check it out for 20 minutes before I went to bed. 3 hours later, I was still playing it. Because it's just fun. It's fucking solitaire and it's only $5 and there's a lot of stages. They have a handful of power-ups in there. Like you can earn coins in the game and you could pay coins to unlock a rewind, like take one step back, or you can buy a Joker card so you can pick anything, which has saved my ass a few times. You can also pay to reshuffle everything. Like all the cards that are left, as well as the cards that are still in your deck, you have to reveal and use a handful of select cards in each stage to progress on. And it's just fun. It's solitaire. And 8th Floor has been killing it with these solitaire games and quick, fun, casual games on the Vita that are only $5 a pop, and you can kill hours upon hours. And for $5, it's another game. I just got to say, buy it. If you're looking for a solitaire game on the Vita and you've already completed the other solitaire games the 8th Floor has released, get their next one. It's just fun. And it's touchscreen, so good stuff.
No, that's great. That's great, yeah. I'm glad that you're enjoying video games, sir.
Yeah. Did you want to give your official stance on LetterQuest, Grimm's Journey Remastered? Developed by Bacon Bandit Games, published by, I don't know, some guys, Digirati Distribution. It releases officially right now. It is out on the Xbox One for $10. It will be available on other platforms later on as it comes. We clearly talked about the game earlier, but give your thoughts.
Buy it.
Yeah, I agree.
If you like putting words together, it's a fun game. I don't know what else to say. It's cute. It's challenging. It's as challenging as you want to make it. You know, you can go in there and just be like, you know what, I'm not gonna fucking do anything under 5-letter words if I can help it.
Yeah.
And then you push yourself, and you know, it's like, yeah. Other times you're like, hey, I'm going to go for these time trials. Fuck letter lengths. Honestly, if you want to make life easy, because I beat all the stages. Now I'm just going back and getting all the stars. To unlock a lot of your upgrades and stuff, you need money. The quickest way to get the crystals that count as money is to beat the 3 goals at any given time.
Yeah.
Or quests, as they're called. So you might just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to an earlier level. Hey, this quest says spell 5 3-letter words. I don't want to do that when I'm fighting the tougher stuff. Let me just go back to one of the first levels, bam, bang that out, finish paying for one of my upgrades, and move on. So it's a game. Like I said, I beat the game, the 40 stages, but you have to beat all 40 stages technically 4 times each with different modes.
Different and modifiers, some of them are, timed, yeah. A super hard version.
Yeah, there was one, and it was like, oh, to beat this level, we're removing the letter, what was it, STEKLC, and like it removed like 8 letters from the alphabet.
Yeah, and those are fun.
Oh, motherfuck. You took away my S? Oh, Jesus, now what do I do? You took away my E? So it's an additional challenge. Well, oh, this enemy is only defeated by words that start with the vowel. And you're thinking to yourself, that ain't bad, and then until you look at it, you're like, fuck. I don't know a single goddamn word out of these because it gives you 15 letters at a time. And, yeah, you can completely swap all the tiles at the expense of skipping your turn and getting attacked again. So there is tactics involved.
Yeah. It's for the people who don't know what it is, it's basically take Boggle, remove the fact that you can only move to an adjacent letter. So you have a board of 15 letters. You can use any of them at any time. And you mix it with RPG where you're defeating monsters and buying upgrades and equipment and potions and shit like that. And yeah, buy it. That's about all.
Yeah, it's all I got. It's all I'm going to give. And, I'm tired.
Yeah. So, a little bit of quick news. Rock Band, unfortunately, their FIG campaign to have a PC port of Rock Band 4 failed. It only made it about halfway of their goal. Their goal was 1.5 million. They got around 800,000, which it's still pretty good considering how like the campaign wasn't run very, very well. Hopefully they'll retry it again in the future because it would have been great to see Rock Band Network come back, but as it stands, it's a bummer to see it fail, but I can understand why, but still it's a shame.
I'm just hoping that they do have the support and capability to eventually push multiplayer online again.
I think they're really looking into it, but it comes down to manpower, but we'll see. A little bit of Xbox news. Two more games hit backward compatibility this week, being Gunstar Heroes. Gunstar Heroes, the old Sega classic, which was awesome still to this day. And then Outland, it took the color swapping from Ikaruga, the bullet hell shooter, where you can absorb one color, but you get hurt by the other. Threw it into kind of a platforming style game. It's cool. It's good stuff, but it's not the easiest. And then Gears of War 4 got an official release date of October 11th. The news came out that it will be in 1080p, so they are looking to push the game graphically. There will be a multiplayer beta on April 25th, but if you have played Gears of War Ultimate Edition on Windows 10 or Xbox One by now or within the next couple of days, you can get early access on the 18th. So that could be fun to kill some time. And finally, some PlayStation news. The 3.5 update came out for the PlayStation 4, which added a handful of new features. The most important for me is it now has remote play capabilities with the PC and the Mac. So I can, if Ashley's watching a show or she's watching Netflix on the Xbox, I can come over to my computer and I can fire up the PS4 and play it on my monitor, which for me is awesome because that's more incentive for me to play more PlayStation 4 games because I can have TV playing. Like I can have, you know, wrestling on TV or UFC or something, and I can still be playing PlayStation. So that is
cool.
Definitely awesome.
That's good. Yeah. I like it.
Fuck you, Wolves. What the hell are you sending me?
I just sent you a thing to look at after the show. That's all.
Okay, I guess I'll have to look at it. Well, I didn't know if maybe hung up on you.
No,
or something.
No, it's nothing important. No, I just really
I should have known it's from you, so it's clearly not important.
Yeah, I saw this earlier and it was just fucking hilarious. It's more or less like, hey, here's the thing. Have a nice day.
Good stuff. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff happening, a lot of good games coming out. We're going to have more games to talk about next week. We're going to have a fairly packed week of shows next week. We're looking at 3 episodes so far, one for Griffin Knight Epic, one for the upcoming release, Soda Drinker Pro, which, I don't know, I can't wait to ask how many drugs are involved in that. And then we're going to be having Jay of Drop Dead Interactive rejoining our show to talk about his game Gear Gauntlet, because it's finally coming out this month. And yay. I've put a little bit of time into it so far, and holy God, is it fun. So next week is going to be packed, and I don't know. Music, what should we play? We'll play the rest of Stemmage's Narrowband album.
Cool.
We played 3 songs last episode. We'll play 3 more this time. So, yeah, final words, Pappy?
I love you all, except for Joe.
Clearly you were supposed to say vote Trump.
Oh, I forgot to mention Fart Cat.